Let's turn to Mark, chapter 11, Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. For the past few weeks, we've been going through a little series. It didn't start out to be a series, but it's ending up to be a series, I guess. Basically, we just start off with asking questions. Started out, first of all, what do you see? Then we talked about what are you looking at? And then what are you holding on to? And the last one was, what was it? What are you listening to? No, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? What are you listening to is coming up sometime. But anyway, what are you thinking? Today we're going to say, look at what are you saying? What are you saying? And it depends a lot, or I should say it this way, your life depends a lot on what you say. And we're going to look at some things. Now, some of these things are very basic. You've heard me preach it dozens of times. But I think it's important for us to go over it again. Peter talked about always stirring up our memories, refreshing our memories. And so we need to understand what God's Word says about how we speak and the things that we say with our mouths and how important that is. Now, I don't know how far we get into this morning, but we'll look at it today and see where to go from there. Mark chapter 11, let's begin at verse 12. Now the next day, when he had come out of Bethany, he was hungry. He's talking about Jesus now. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps it would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no man eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. Now, if you don't understand what's going on there, if you don't understand why that happened, or the meaning of all of that, you'll understand, well, what happened to Jesus that day? Did he get up on the wrong side of the bed, or what? Did he not sleep good the night before, or what? You know, came up looking for food from a tree, there was nothing on it, and he cursed the tree. You know, sometimes we do that to the fridge. You look in there, you're trying to find something to eat, you can't find something, you slam the door and look somewhere else. But that's not what Jesus did. There was a purpose behind that. We'll try to touch on that in a minute. But that's not where we're going exactly this morning. Down in verse 20. Now, so that happened one morning. They went into the temple area, cleansed the temple, went back again to Bethany overnight, and came back in Jerusalem the next morning. Now, this is the week before leading up to the crucifixion. Okay, we're after Palm Sunday, going up to Good Friday, we would say, the crucifixion. So this is later in that week. So anyway, down in verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will come to pass, he will have whatsoever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's bow together and ask God's direction this morning as we look into the word. Heavenly Father, thank you for your many blessings upon us. Thank you for the goodness of God. Thank you, Lord, for, Lord, even the testimony we heard this morning, Lord, of this man's healing. We thank you for that, Father. We just pray that you would just continue to minister there to his family and to all those that are involved. May you see God's hand there. And Father, we give you praise for that. And we thank you for it. Now, Father, as we look into the Word of God, we ask that the Holy Spirit would enlighten our understanding. Father, that you would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Christ. And Father, that we would leave this place today, Lord, more understanding what it means, Lord, to speak the right words. Direct us, we pray, and receive the glory to yourself, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I was reading a devotional a while ago, and it told a story about a college professor. She wanted to explain to her students how important the words were, your words were. And she gave every student a ribbon that had the words on it, "Who I am makes a difference. Who I am makes a difference." She gave one to all of her class, and she said, "Now what I want you to do," she said, "is take that ribbon," and she said, "find someone that means something to you, that's helped you out in life, or somebody that you respect, or somebody that you honor, or somebody that you admire, and I want you to give them that ribbon and explain to them why you feel that way about them." And so anyway, they all took it and gave it up. But they're telling a story about this young man. He took the ribbon, and he went to a young man who was an executive in a company that helped him plan his career and get his education, different things. And he went up to him, they gave him the ribbon. He said, I appreciate all your help, he said, and helping me out and choosing a career and the path that I should go on. And he gave him the ribbon. So the man thanked him for it. And he said, now there's only one request. He said, you got to pass the ribbon on to someone else. And so anyway, he started looking around trying to figure out who am I going to give it to. He started to think for one. He thought, well, he said, now he had and the story said he had a cranky boss. Nobody else around here has got anybody like that. And but anyway, he had a cranky boss, and he said, he's trying to figure out, now how can I, give it to him? And he started to think it over, and he said, well, he said, the boss is pretty creative, and he comes up with some good ideas. So he went up to him, and he said, working with him, he said he learned a few things. So he went up to the boss, and he said, I want to give you this ribbon. He said, and he explained the idea behind it. And he said, I want you to give you this ribbon. He said, that says, who I am makes a difference. And he said, you've made a difference in my life. He said, you've given me a job. He said, you've trained me in a few areas. And he said, I appreciate that. So he gave him the ribbon. So the boss took it, and he went home that night. And the story says that he had a 14-year-old son. And he went into his house, and he's trying to figure out, who can I give it to? And he's looked at his son sitting in a chair, and he went over to his son. And he said, son, he said, I know, he said, my life is pretty hectic. He said, and I'm busy all the time. He said, and most I do, he said, is grumble with you. He said, but your marks in school, he said, and your bedroom's not clean. And he said, I'm always criticizing you and things like that. He said, but he said, I want to give you this ribbon. And he said, beside your mother, he said, you're the most important person in my life. And he said, I love you. And he stuck it on his son's shirt or whatever. And his son started to cry. And he said, Dad, he said, up in my bedroom, he said, there's a note. He said, tonight, he said, I was going to shoot myself. He said, there's a note there asking your forgiveness and trying to explain why I was doing it, why I was going to do that. And he said, but now, he said, I guess I don't need that note anymore. He said, I didn't think anybody cared. So he went up to his room, him and his father, and he showed him the note. And here was the gun over in the corner, already loaded. And he said to his dad, he said, I was going to do it tonight after everyone's gone to sleep. We never know sometimes how important just little words of encouragement are. And our children will grow up hearing all kinds of negative things in their lives and all kinds of, people criticize and everything else. They don't need to hear it at home. And as parents and as grandparents and whatever we are here today, we need to keep that in mind that, if there's anywhere a child should feel safe is at home and feel encouraged is at home. And it's important for us. The Word of God tells us in Proverbs 15:23, he said, there is nothing better than the right word at the right time. There's nothing better than the right word at the right time. Isaiah 50:4, it says, the Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. And again in Proverbs 17:28, he said, even a foolish man, when he keeps quiet, is taken to be wise. When his lips are shut, he is credited with good sense. That'd make you think, wouldn't it? Your words tell who you are. Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. So your words are very important. And we're going to look at a few things today about our words. And Colossians chapter 4, verse 6 says, let your talk be with grace, mixed with salt, so that you may be able to give an answer to everyone. And as I said, our words are very important. The Word of God tells us, we're going to look at a few things down through the Scriptures that the Word of God tells us about our words or our tongue. James tells us a lot about our tongue, and we'll try to get in there in a few moments if we get a chance to get in there. But back in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, there's a verse, we've probably all heard it before, and talked about it and heard people preach it or whatever. But the Bible says here in Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Your tongue is very powerful. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now, when we say words, when we speak words, and we're going to get into different aspects of the words this morning, but when we speak words, they go out, and you've heard all kinds of illustrations. When words go out, you can't bring them back, and people have used illustrations of opening up a feather pillow, so to speak, and the feathers blowing all over the place in a windstorm. You can't go and gather every single one of those back. And that's what it's like sometimes with a tale or something that we tell. I was looking at some things on the internet the week, talking about cyber bullying. You know, people committing suicide because somebody online is bullying them. Just constantly on their back all the time. And a lot of young people just can't take that strain. Even as older people, we can't take the strain. But sometimes children can't take that strain. And when somebody's always bullying and always picking on them and things, I guess it just causes them to snap and do some stupid things sometimes. So we need to be very careful, because words are very important. Remember when we were children, we used to always sing or say a little rhyme. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. That's not true, you know, because words sometimes can do a whole lot more damage than sticks and stones, you know. And a lot of people have grown up, they've heard things said over them and things said about them, and people criticize them, people made fun of them, and you grow up through life carrying that with you all the time. And we need to understand that that's not what the plans or the purpose that God has for us. God's got a plan and a purpose. The Bible says that God's got a plan to give us all a good future, a good expected end. Not to end up, committing suicide, or ending up, depressed and oppressed and, with mental problems and things like that. That's not God's plan and purpose for his children. God wants to bless us. The Bible says God has given us a spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. And we need to understand that God wants his children to live in that such a way. Now, so here he talks about, he said, death and life itself is in the power of your tongue. In other words, what you say can either bring death into your life or else bring life back into you. You've all seen people like this. I can remember years ago, we had some friends of ours, and they were going through some very difficult time financially, and there was problems in their marriage, and they were struggled. They loved each other and things like, but there was always just a little bit of friction, and they just couldn't seem to get along and different things. And I can remember one time we were visiting, we were on holidays, and our children were just small. And we used to go and visit them every year when we take our holidays. They used to ask us to come and see them, so we'd go and spend a couple nights with them. And I remember one time we were out in his driveway, and we were just leaning up against the cars and talking, about different things, talking about our vehicles and whatever. And, he started telling me all the problems that they were having. And a lot of times you don't know what words to say, you try to encourage them, but you know yourself, when the words come out, they feel so flat. You just don't seem to have the right words to hit the right spot. And I really didn't know what to say to him. We talk about it, and we were out there by the car, and we just prayed together. And I said, I don't know all the answers. I said, but I do know one thing. God is good, and he's got a good plan for you. And he told me about a year after that, he said, you don't know, he said, how much that meant to me. Now, to me, it sounded like a flat, I didn't know what else to say. But he said, you don't know how much that meant, he said, to realize that God had a plan for me. And what I was going through was only temporary. The Bible says the things that we see are temporal. The things that we don't see, they're eternal. And so easy for us to get caught up in what we can see and what we can feel and what we can sense and what we, people are saying. It's so easy for us to get caught up in that realm. But we need to understand that God has got something better for us. And as we keep our eyes upon Jesus, this is what the Word of God tells us over and over and over. Don't look at the things on the earth. Look at the things that are above. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. He's the author and he's the finisher. What that means, what is begun, the Bible says he will complete. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. When you're going through a storm, don't look at the storm all the time. Look at Jesus. I've told you this story before. Years ago, we were at a youth convention in Newfoundland, and my brother and myself were in a car, and we were driving. We had some young people from our church driving, and there's others coming behind us. There's three or four cars from our church that took some young people out to this youth convention to another church. And on the way home, that was a Sunday night after service was over, we were all heading back to our hometown. And on the way home, there was a storm came up. It was in the wintertime. The storm came up, and blustery, and you couldn't see anywhere. You couldn't see far here to the, back to the church back there. And so we slowed right down and just, made our way through it. And it was only probably about a kilometer long, and we came out the other side, and it was so clear. It was just like a ball of snow just blew through the area, we came out the other side, and we were going up the hill, and we could see the cars coming back on the other hill way back there, our, the rest of our crowd. And we were a little ways ahead of them. And so we went down, waited on top of the hill, and I said, going to see now, they're going to get through. So we looked in the mirrors, looking back, and we saw them going to the storm. And we waited, and we waited, and we waited, and we waited. And we thought, man, I hope they never went off the road or something. You know, it was only a short distance, but, you know. And so anyway, we swung around and went back again. And so when we got back, we could see their lights just coming through. They're almost through the storm. They're, you know, so we just pulled over on the side of the road, and they came through. And we said to them, you know, we're on the other hill. We saw you go through that storm, and we knew you would come through. And see, a lot of times we're going through storms in life. When you're going through it, you don't see. All you see is the storm itself. Sometimes we need to get a different perspective and realize that the storm is only temporary. There is an end to it. See, they say people don't commit suicide because they're in problems. They said they commit suicide because they think it'll never change. When they lose hope, that's when people commit suicide. We need to understand that whatever we're going through, whatever struggle we're going through, whatever trial we're going through, whatever test we're going through, we need to understand that's exactly what it is. It's just a test. It's just a trial that we're going through. James tells us, or the Word of God tells us, don't think it's strange, the fiery trials that you go through. They're common to everyone. But the devil's got a way of drawing you off to yourself and saying, listen, you're different than everyone else. This is never going to work for you. You will never come through this. And if he can keep you in that mindset, he'll destroy you. This is what the Word of God tells. Don't look at the things on the earth. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. He's the author and he's the finisher of our faith. He'll complete it. But a lot of times we get our eyes on the storm and we lose sight of Jesus. And that's what happened to Peter, remember, on the water. He kept his eyes upon Jesus. He was walking on the water. He's doing the impossible. He's going through the storm. But the minute he got his eyes off Jesus, the storm took him down. So we need to be very careful. Now, so the Bible tells us life and death, or death and life, it says here, death and life are in the power of the tongue. The Bible says, what man is it that desires life and loves many days? You want to have a long life? This is how you get it. He said, that he may see good. He said, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. You want to live a long life? Keep your tongue from speaking evil. First Peter, Peter tells us again, he said the very same thing. He said, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Proverbs 13:3. I got a lot of verses there. I'm just going to read down through them, but we'll stop if we need to at times. Proverbs 13:3. He that keeps his mouth keeps his life. If you know how to keep your words and not say the wrong words, you can keep your life. But if you say the wrong words, remember, death and life are in the power of your tongue. It didn't say the power of death and life is in your tongue. He said death and life is in the power of the tongue. The tongue has power. You ever stop to think about all the wars, all the battles, all the tensions between governments and all these different things? All start with words. Everything is done with words. You know, we communicate with each other with words. And you can speak good words, you can speak bad words, you can speak words that would build people up, or you can speak words that would tear people down. James tells us our tongue is very powerful. And we need to be very careful what we're saying with our words. And I'm not here trying to put a negative trip on us this morning or anything like that, but I want us to understand the importance of words themselves. Okay, so words can either produce life or death in our existence. You know, it could either build us up or tear us down. It could bring trouble into our lives. The Bible says, whosoever keeps his mouth, in Proverbs 21:23, whosoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from trouble. Keeps his soul from trouble. You ever get in trouble sometimes? You ever get in trouble by something you said? We all have. You know? But he said here, if we keep our words, if we keep our mouth, we stay out of a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble we get into. You know, it's because of things we've said, or, you know, sometimes a burst of anger or a burst of frustration, we just blurt something out. And here's the thing about it. Once you blurt something out, even if it's an anger or frustration or just on the spur of the moment before you don't really mean it. A lot of times, especially like in families, for instance, families, you get mad at each other sometimes, you'll say something to each other, and after it's all over, you thought, man, I wish I never said that. You know, and because you didn't really mean what you said, it was just frustration at that time. Anybody ever experienced that? You know, you don't really mean it, but the problem is you said it. And once that goes out there, it goes out like a missile sometimes and hits the wrong spot. You might have, you know, got over it the next day and said, well, you know, I'm sorry for that, and I, you know, and just go on. But the person you said it to may take them years to get over that, if they ever get over it. So we need to be very careful what our words are saying to people. Psalm 64 and 8, he said, So they shall be made to stumble, their own tongue being against them. Your own tongue being against you. Proverbs 6 and 2, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, and thou art taken with the words of your mouth. You're snared with them, you're taken with them. So we're going to look at a few things about words themselves. The most important word, as we know, is the word of God. And the Bible tells us a number of places about the word of God. Psalm 119 is all about the word of God. But the Bible tells us that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It means it's alive, it's got power, and it penetrates. It can cut right to... You see, sometimes you'll hear somebody preaching, for instance. And I've heard people say this over the years, and you've heard it as well. Sometimes people are preaching, and somebody come in, they say, man, somebody must have told them about me. Somebody must have told them what I was going through. Somebody must have told them what I did. Somebody must have told them, you know, what I went through last week or last night or whatever, because they spoke exactly what I felt. See, that's God's word. It's not the pastor that's doing it. It's God's word that's doing it. It's quick and it's powerful, and it penetrates right where it needs it. Remember Jesus with the woman at the well? I mean, he knew exactly what, you know, what the Bible tells, Jesus knew what was in everybody's heart anyway. But he knew all the different things. And he was talking to this woman, and he said, go and get your husband. Now, Jesus knew she never had a husband. But he knew exactly where to put, you know, where to touch the button, so to speak. And she said, I don't have a button. He said, I don't have a husband. And he said, you're right, you don't have a husband. He said, you've already had five. I mean, you're talking about somebody telling you, you know, the situation. He said, you've already had five husbands. And he said, the fellow you're living with now is not your husband. You're shacking up with him. You know, and she said, I think you're a prophet. And then Jesus, you know, went on and talked to her about the water that he could give her, that she had never thirst again. But the thing is, like, I want to understand that the word of God goes exactly where the need is at, right to the pinpoint of where the problem is. That's how the word of God is. It's quick, it's powerful. The word of God tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. The word of God can get right into our very thoughts and penetrate right into where the problem is at and correct the problem. The word of God is so very powerful. Isaiah 55 and 11 says this way, God says, my word... So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return void. When God's word goes out, sometimes, you know, you're talking to somebody about the Lord, you know, or somebody's going through something, just give them the word of God. Now, I don't mean to come judgmental and say, oh, you know, you got to do this, this, and this, and this, and, you know, but just give them encouragement from God's word. Because this here, God said, this will not return void, but it will accomplish that which it was sent to do. Remember, now this is probably a cruel example, but I've used this a couple times because I don't know what else to use. Remember when Mary, and we're coming into the Christmas season, remember when the angel came to Mary, said, Hail Mary, you're highly favored of God, you know, and told her that she was going to have a son and call his name Jesus. He would be the word of God, you know. The Bible says she mixed that with faith, and the word mixed with faith became flesh and produced something. But it's something interesting. Mary said, how shall this be? I'm not married. I've never had sexual relationships with a man. How can I have a child? And the angel said, he said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and different things. And he said, for every word of God, in the original language is what he's saying, every word of God has enough power within itself to produce whatever the word says. Now, as I said, I'm going to give you a stupid example, but to me, it sort of makes it a bit more easy to understand. How many are familiar with computers? Most of you got an idea what a computer does anyway. You take a computer and you see a paragraph, you know, a writing there, and ever so often, maybe it was a paragraph, you know, talking about different things. Ever so often, you'll read, let's say, for instance, you went into a site, say, the Queen of England. I don't know if there's a site for that, but I'm sure there is something there. You know, and you're reading down through, and you got Buckingham Palace, and you got, I don't know the name of the palaces over there. Anyhow, some of the different palaces there. And as you're reading down through it, you see, you know, Buckingham Palace has got a line underneath and is written in blue or in a bold type. You click on that, that will take you into a different site, into Buckingham Palace or whatever the case might be. Now, what it means, that word has got the power to go into that particular site. You understand that? So a lot of times God's word, as I said, that's a cruel example, but just to give you a rough idea, a lot of times God's word, when you say healing to somebody, when you say prosperity, when you say blessing, when you pronounce a blessing upon somebody, there's enough power in that word itself to produce whatever that word is saying. So when Mary received the word from the angel, she said, "Be it unto me even as your word says." So as she accepted that word produced something in her life. It produced flesh. That word became flesh, the Bible tells us. Now, so I want us to understand that the words that we speak produce something. Once we understand and start to believe what we're saying, it will either work to the positive or to the negative. What we're saying, you know, the words that we speak, if you say them often enough, you start believing them. And when you mix faith with it, whether it's faith for something bad or faith for something good, it's still mixing faith with the word that you said, and it will produce either death or life. And that's what he says, death and life is in the power of your tongue. Because when you start mixing faith, what you're saying is going to produce in your life what the words that you've been speaking. Some people say, well, you know, I'll never get ahead in work in life. I'll never get a good job. I'll never, you know, I'll never have my own house. I'll never have a good car. I'll never, you know, I'll never be. And they say, I wonder why life is so hard for me. You're producing what you're saying. You understand that? That's what he said. Death and life is in the power of your tongue, or in other words, in the power of your words, what you're saying with your words. Now, so God says, my word will not return void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. It will prosper. In other words, it will succeed in what I sent it to do. So when we speak words, you know, of life, we infuse people with life. But when you speak words of doubt and condemnation, you make people go down in life. And the same thing happened in your own life. Words are more than just sounds. We use words for communication, and we've already mentioned that. But you know, back in the beginning, words were first used for creating. Words were used for creating. You go back to Genesis chapter 1. God said, let there be light. There was light. God said, let the dry land appear. Dry land appeared. God said, let animals come. Animals came forth. God said, you know, whatever God said came to pass. You see, and when God created Adam, God's plan and purpose in designing Adam was that everything Adam said would come to pass. It's why when the animals came out, Adam said, we're going to call that one a lion. We're going to call that one a tiger. We're going to call that one. And the Bible says it was so. Whatever Adam said, that's the way it was. When God created Eve from Adam's rib, Adam looked at her, he said, woman, she shall be called woman, the man with the womb. And even to this day, she's still called woman. Whatever Adam said would come to pass, because that's the way God created him. God created him with creative power in his words. We are created in God's image. It doesn't mean to say we look like God. I mean, God would be an awful shape if he looked like us. You know? But we're created in God's image. We have a spirit, a soul, and a body. The Bible tells us God is a spirit. You know, there's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We look at God in three persons or three parts or whatever way to look at that. But we are the same thing. We have spirit, soul, and body. And the Bible tells us that we were created in God's image. We weren't created like the animals. You know, in school, they tell you we're the highest rung on the animal ladder. No, we're not. We're not even on the same ladder. We're on the ladder of God. If there's any such thing as that. But you don't understand what we're saying. We're created in God's image, not in the image of some monkey or something. I was telling you, where was I? Oh, that was over to the other night, over to the revival service. A young girl asked her mother, she said, Mommy, she said, where do we come from? And she said, Way back in the beginning, God created Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve loved each other, and they had children, and their children had children, and their children had children, and eventually said, you were born. She said, God created us. So she was pretty good with that. So she's sitting down a couple days later, she said, Dad, she said, where do we come from? She wanted to get his opinion. And he wasn't a believer. He said, well, he said, no, way back, he said, in the beginning, he said, we came out of the seas, and we were little fish, we were flipping around. He said, and they pitched it on the shore, he said, and eventually turned into a monkey, and monkeys had little babies, and eventually we showed up. And she was confused. She went back to her mom. She said, I don't understand this, she said. She said, Dad says we came from monkeys. You said we come from God. She said, oh, that's easy. She said, he's talking about his side of the family. But we never came from the animal kingdom. We came from God. We are created in God's image. We need to understand that. So God created Adam with creative power in his words. When Adam would say something, it would come to pass. We have the same ability. If we would only tap into it and use faith with it, we can do the same thing, because he tells us over and over and over, death and life is in the power of your tongue. Whatever you say will come to pass. The Bible tells us, and we go into a lot of places here now, we're not going to have time to get into it. Jesus tells us in John chapter 6 and verse 63, he said, it is the spirit that quickens or gives life. He said, the flesh profits nothing. He said, the words that I speak to you. See, we look at words as something to hear, that we hear, you hear me speaking now, as words. But we need to understand that those words that we speak, that I'm speaking now, that you're speaking when you speak, those words are more than just sounds. They do something in the spirit realm. This is what Jesus said here. He said, the words that I speak to you, he said, they are spirit and they are life. Now, Jesus never spoke death. He spoke life to everyone ever he came across. He said, the words that I'm speaking to you, he said, in the spirit realm, they're creating life. They're creating power. And we need to understand that when we use words, they're like seeds that we plant, and those seeds will germinate and grow and eventually produce something. Like the word of God in the womb of Mary. Mixed with faith, it grew and produced. The word became flesh, the Bible tells us. See, what happens a lot of times, and we talk about this sometimes, when you say something, it comes into your mind and you say something, whether it's good or bad, but you know, if you speak good things, that gets down into your spirit, because the Bible tells us that the spirit, the soul, the heart of man is the soil. Remember when he talked about the different soils and different things? He's talking about the heart of man. The word of God, you know, in some soil brings forth fruit. Some soil, he said, is like stony ground and thorns and all these different things. Remember there in Mark chapter 4? But he's talking about the soil of our hearts. And as we take words and plant them in that soil and we mix faith with it, whatever we say is going to produce. If we're always speaking negative words and bad words over people and condemning people all the time, criticizing people, gossiping all the time, that's what you're going to produce in your life. You're going to have a miserable life. You're going to live like that constantly. But if you start building up people and start encouraging people and start saying good things about them, even sometimes you don't feel that you should have something good said about them, say it anyway. Because you have to realize that your words carry power. They're seeds that get down into your spirit and they start to grow. And as you start to hear it so many times, you start to believe it. And then what you believe will come to pass in your life. You mix faith with it, whether it's for the good or the bad. So we need to understand that when we speak something, that's not, you know, we'll say something. Well, I was reading something a week. And they were saying on the internet, they were talking about bullying and things like that. I was just reading an article about it, actually. And they were saying on the internet, there's things that people said that after you hit the enter button, that's out there forever. You can't take it back. You know, you might have said something about somebody, or you might have said something to somebody, or whatever. Those words are there forever. You know, and a lot of times the words that we speak them, and we leave them, we say, nobody's heard that, but it got down in our spirit. And it will produce something in you. So you better be careful what you're saying. See, this is why it's not just, you know, be careful what you're saying so you don't hurt somebody's feelings. That's you know, enough reason there alone. But you got to understand that even though somebody wasn't there. See, let's say, for instance, you came to me as a pastor. You know what so-and-so did? and you gave me a big lineup of them, and then you left me and you went out and told someone else, and then I probably went and told somebody else. Eventually, that spread around so much. You know, and we've produced something in our spirits that we start to feel that way, and we start to live that way, and we start to react to things in a certain way because of what we said, and is growing in our spirits all the time. We need to renew our minds. We talked about this a little while ago. We need to renew our minds in the way that we speak sometimes to change our future. People are saying, well, I don't understand. Well, my life is so messed up. What are you talking about all the time? What are you looking at all the time? What are you listening to all the time? What are you getting into your spirit? See, there's more to this than just, you know, sounding words. Words have power. They carry weight. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Jesus said, a good man out of the treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. See, you can put on a front sometimes and fool yourself, or try to fool yourself, or try to fool people, and try to act in a certain way in people's presence and stuff like that. But down in your own heart, what's down there eventually is going to start coming out. You know, if you've got to put on a good front, and you know, boyfriends and girlfriends do this a lot of times. Do you see a girl that they like or a boy that they like, and man, they'll act so nice and so prim and proper, and you know, the good attitude, and they're nicest kind of people and things like this. And you know, and all of a sudden the fellow falls in love with you, or vice versa, you fall in love with him because he's such a nice person. But that's only, you know, the veneer. What's really in their heart? You stay with them for a couple weeks, a couple months, whatever, and all of a sudden you see what's really in the abundance of their heart, because now it starts to come out. You understand that? It starts to come out. Because Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth will speak. So you need to be very careful what you put into your heart. Because we do have a say of what we put in there. And as we put things into our hearts, you know, make sure you put in something as good, that's going to build up, that's going to encourage people. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Everything that pertains to life comes out of your heart. Be very careful what you put in there. What you say is what you get. Mark 11:24, we just read it. Jesus cursed a fig tree. And I'll just sidetrack a little bit there, just to explain that to you, because you might say, well, why would he do that? Was he in a bad mood or what? Now, the fig tree represented Israel. The fig tree represented the old covenant, represented the law, represented everything that was the old religious system. It looked good. It had the form of godliness, but it had no power. Remember the Bible talks about that? The fig tree represented that. The fig tree looked like it was good. Looked like it had all kinds of fruit on it. But when Jesus came up to it, there was nothing on it. And Jesus used that as an illustration. He cursed the fig tree, saying, no one will eat food from you anymore. The old sacrificial system, the old law, and everything else was done with. Jesus said, that is over. No one will get righteousness from the law. No one will relate to God anymore through the law, because that system is over. And that system died, because Jesus, in two or three days, is going to bring in a new system. The new covenant, what we have today. Okay, that's why that happened there. But anyway, Jesus cursed the fig tree. And as they came back the next morning, as they're coming back into town again, the disciples saw the fig tree. Now, Jesus cursed it the day before. The disciples saw it next morning as they're coming back into town, and the leaves were all drying up. You ever, you know, sometimes you get a storm or whatever, or you cut down a tree, and you go back the next day, and all of a sudden the leaves are just starting to shrivel in and you know, different things. Well, that's what's happening to the tree. And the Bible says it dried from the root up. That's interesting. See, a lot of times we pray for symptoms, and that's all we get the answer to, is the symptom. We need to pray that the root is plucked up. You understand that? You need to pray that the root is plucked up. Back in the Old Testament, back in Genesis chapter 1, when God created everything, he put one in the apple, seeds in that apple to produce another apple. Many more apples, should you? Oranges, the same thing. The Bible says he put within a seed to reproduce after its kind. Whatever it came from, that's what it would produce. Whatever your words say, that's what it will produce after its kind. You understand it? So God created Adam. Whatever Adam said would come to pass. It would produce after its kind. Whatever words were spoken, that's what it would produce. So we need to understand that we need to have the right words to say. So here in Mark 11:24, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say to this mountain." You see, he's talking about our words. Don't get up there and pray, "Oh God, move that mountain. Oh God, do this." He said, whoever would say, you have authority. You've been created with authority. You can say to the mountain. If there's a struggle in your life, remember Jesus when they were going across on the Sea of Galilee? The Bible says a great storm came up. Jesus was asleep in the back part of the ship on a pillow. Remember that? And the disciples, you know, they were fishermen and they were becoming afraid. Now, we've traveled on good many boats back in Newfoundland area and, you know, on some rough water sometimes. And honestly, I always look at the crew. If I see the crew is doing okay and they're just laughing and carrying on, you know, it makes it a bit easier for me to understand this is not so bad after all. You know, these fellows have been through this before. But I tell you, if the crew starts getting nervous, we're in trouble, you know. But a crew on this ship with Jesus, they went down and shook Jesus. "Don't you care that we're dying? Don't you care that we perish?" You know what Jesus did? The Bible says Jesus came up, stood up in front of the ship, and he rebuked the wind. He said, "Wind, stop it." I don't know what words he used, but he rebuked the wind. He looked at the waves. He said, "Peace, be still." And the Bible said the wind stopped. There was a great calm. And the boys looked at him and said, "Man, what kind of fellow is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him." You know what Jesus did? He never said, "Well, I'm doing that because I'm God." He said, "Boys, where's your faith?" Implying that they could have done it too. He said, "Where's your faith?" See, we need to understand. I was reading years ago, John Wesley. They said he would come across from England to North America, come across on a ship. And one time they came across him, it was such a storm. They were in the bottom of the ship and they would have class meetings and they had a group of people and they would go down and that's why they're called Methodist, because they had a method to everything. That's why they're called Methodist. And they had a certain time of hour, so many hours they would pray and read and different things and study and, you know. And so anyway, they were on the water and they said it was calm. Now back in those days you had to travel by wind and sail. And he said everything was calm and the captain went down and said, "Listen, you fellows down there," he said, "believe in God." He said, "Pray," he said, "we get some wind," he said, "to get this boat going." So they went down to start praying, and all of a sudden the breeze came up and the wind was going, you know, the boat was going so fast, and all of a sudden it became so stormy. He went back and banged on the door again. He said, "Listen," he said, "pray," he said, "that the wind would die down." He said, "It's too stormy out there now." So he prayed and, you know, wind died down. And John Wesley said, almost every trip across the Atlantic, he said, they had to do the same thing. He would pray, and he said, you know, speak to the wind, and this would happen. Now, see, we have authority over these things. The problem is we don't exercise it. Adam exercised it. Jesus was the last Adam. He had the same authority. He came, and he spoke to the wind, and the wind stopped. He spoke to the storm, and the storm stopped. See, there's some things in life, there's some storms that we'll face in life sometimes, and you better get your words in order, because you'll have to use them. And it depends how you use them, how the storm is going to turn out. If you're going to say, "Oh my, I guess this is it. You know, the doctor gave me a bad report. I guess there's nothing else can be done. I guess it's all over for me. It's just well for me to plan my funeral." You'll have what you say. You understand that? Your words. We got to understand the importance of the words. This is what Jesus said here. He said, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you say, or whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea." And then he tells us, and he said, "Shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that the things which you say will come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say." It's Jesus said that. Because when Peter saw the tree withered, Peter said, "Master," he said, "look at the trees that you cursed yesterday." He said, "It's withered away." And the King James, Jesus said, "Have faith in God." In the original language, he said, "Have God's faith. Have the kind of faith that God has." Remember the Bible tells us about Abraham? He believed in God who spoke things that were not as though they were. Remember that? He spoke to the storm and says, "Calm down." The storm was raging. He said, "Calm down," because that's what he wanted to do. I heard Charles Capps. Somebody ever talk to Charles Capps? I heard Charles Capps years ago in Newfoundland. They were down there, him and Jerry Savelle, and he's talking about he said, you call things which are not as though you want them to be. And he said, he had a dog, I don't know what the name of the dog was, Sport or something. And he said, he went out and said, Sport was over in another field. And he said, I didn't say, there's Sport. He said, hi, here's Sport. He said, I want him to come here. He said, you call the things to be not as though they were. Sport here. Sport was still over there. He said, but Sport here. And he said, eventually Sport came here. You understand? It's just a very simple principle there. But you got to call things that be that are not as though they were. You call it into existence. I mean, I've used this illustration before. You go down to the thermostat. You want it, if it's too cold, you say, I want to put it up, 21 degrees. Well, you're calling 21 degrees. That is, I'm just using natural illustrations there. But you're calling what's not as though it was. You're sitting it at 21. There's only 18 here. But eventually it will become 21. You understand? Now, you may say, well, what's that got to do with it? You're calling what's not as though it was. That's just a natural illustration to try to explain it. But you see, you speak things into existence. This is why Jesus said, if you believe, what you say will come to pass. He said, you'll have whatsoever you say. You'll have whatsoever you say. Romans chapter 10, you've heard this scripture many times. If you would confess with your mouth, believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession is made. That's how you got saved. You believe in your heart and you speak with your mouth. See, the Bible tells over in Hebrews that the word that was preached didn't profit them because they never mixed it with faith. When you believe it in your heart, you're mixing it with faith. And when you speak words, you're sending forth creative power to bring it into pass. It's very important what we say. I'll finish this. The tongue, James tells us, is a bit that we put in a horse's mouth. Same thing, he said, or a rudder that can change a large ship. We used to work on lake boats out here, and one of the boats still come out right now, the English River. So I used to work on that one back in 74, I guess it was. And I was on that one and another one. I don't know which one it was now, but anyhow, we used to go up to the wheelhouse. And at nighttime, you're up there, so the captain would let us young fellows, we were only teenagers at the time, to control the boat for a while. And he'd say to us, he said, the boat is never going straight. He says, it's always going like this. And you had the big wheel there, and you'd bring her back on course again, and she'd gone over that way too far, and you bring her back again, she's going over this way, and then you bring her back. You're doing that the whole night as you're going through, you're just keeping her, going. Or you're turning the rudder back there. Now, back in James' day, Jesus' day, and back there in Bible days, now they use engines and everything. Back then, it was used by wind and sails. And James said, your tongue is like that rudder. He says, like a ship, he said, that the mighty winds, the heavy gales, move that ship. And he said, in order to turn that ship, he said, there's a little rudder in the back. And he said, wherever the governor or the captain wants to go, he said, he can make that ship go by just turning that rudder. And he said, that's what your tongue is like in your life. The tongue, he said, is only a small member. He said, look at the damage and the danger it can do. But all you have to do is just change the words that you're speaking, and you can change your course of your life. Whichever way you speak will produce in your life. So if you're going around all the time and saying, oh, I'll never get ahead in life, I'll never, my family's always at it hard, we'll never accomplish anything, we'll never get anywhere, we'll never get a new car, we'll never get a new house, we'll never get a new job, we'll never get healthy, I'll never get married. You start thinking like that, you're going to get exactly what you're saying. You got to change your way of speaking, your way of thinking, because what you say, Jesus said, is going to come to pass. You shall have whatsoever you say. Joshua, I had a couple of illustrations here. I'll just give you a couple there. Joshua, just quickly. Remember when they walked around the walls of Jericho? 6 days they walked around the walls of Jericho, and the seventh day it collapsed. Now remember back before that, when they came in across the Red Sea 40 years before. They came across the Red Sea, Moses sent out 12 spies. You know the story. And when he sent out 12 spies, 10 of them came back with an evil report, the Bible says. They said, oh, we can't do it. Joshua and Caleb said, oh, yes, we can. Anyway, the Bible says their evil report to the other ten made all the camp of Israel discouraged. And they all went back to their tents, the Bible says. They were all discouraged. 40 years later, they got into the promised land. Now Joshua was leader. Joshua was one of the two that were bringing back a good report. So Joshua said, listen, he said, God told us to go up. He said, march around Jericho. And it's interesting what Joshua said. He said to him, he said, when you go up there and start marching around, he said, don't say a word. He said, don't say a word. 6 days, he said, I don't want to hear a word from anyone. Keep your mouth shut. Now, why was he doing that? I believe he remembered 40 years before. You never kept your mouth shut. And look, we put us 40 years in the wilderness. Keep your mouth shut this time. And he said, don't say a word, he said, until I tell you to shout. And he said, when I tell you to shout, he said, the walls will come down. That's exactly what happened. He walked around once every day. But on the seventh day, they marched around 7 times. And Joshua shouted out. He said, now, he said, blow the trumpets and shout. Because I think what would happen? I mean, they're just people like us. They'd be walking around that wall. He says, man, how foolish is this? I think we're going to bring that wall down by just walking around. Was it the VeggieTales sings a song that, you know? Think that we're going to bring it. And, you know, you get people that say, I think we should get a battering ram and go up against that door. I think we should do that. I think we should get ladders. And I think we should get some arrows and put some fire on it and shoot up over there. You know, and you come up with all. No, Joshua says, shut up. Don't say anything. Don't speak a word. He said, until I tell you to. Because he knew if they start talking, you'd talk themselves out of it. And on the seventh day, God gave him the victory. What happened to John the Baptist? His parents, Zacharias. The angel came to Zacharias and he said, listen, I mean, he was an old man. He said, we've heard your prayers. God has heard your prayers. He said, you're going to give you a child next year. And Zacharias said, well, he said, show me something to prove that. He asked for it. He said, okay. He said, you'll be dumb from now on until a child is born. Don't say a word until the victory is there. You understand that? You're going through a struggle in life. You're going through a battle. And trials come and testings come and everything else. It's easy to say the wrong word. It's easy. I mean, sometimes it's just so tempting. You know, you always got to bite your tongue. Mom used to say to us when we were children growing up, she said, if you can't speak good words, she said, better bite your tongue. If you can't speak good words with somebody, bite your tongue. And we grew up understanding that. Don't say anything negative and criticizing people all the time. And, you know, that's not for us as Christians. It's not for you anyway, because whatever you say is going to come back on you. Be very careful what you're saying. Be very careful what you're saying. Jesus spoke and calmed the storm, it says. And as it, our words act like a rudder, turns our lives in whatever direction we want it to go. If you want it to go in good direction, change your words. You want to have a good future? Change your words. Your words are very important. Praise God. We're going to sing a chorus or two before we finish up this morning. But we've all said things, done things. You know, what's like in a rudder? There's one thing I've noticed. When you're steering a large ship, you just don't spin. I mean, you can do it in a little speedboat sometimes, but you just don't spin a big ship around just in a, you know, like we do with a car sometimes. You know, you're coming into the harbor light, and you want to go. You got to go, you know, and turn right around, and you know it takes a long time because you're cutting through the water and you're putting pressure on the rudder. You understand that? You're putting pressure on the rudder, and the rudder puts pressure on the boat and turns the boat. And a lot of times our lives have been going in a certain direction. We've been saying the wrong words, and we've been going down that road so long. And now you say, well, I got to start changing my words. And what is saying here? Same thing, he said, you put bits in the mouth of the horses, of the horse, and you pull on it, and you know, put pressure on it. Sometimes you got to put pressure on your tongue in order to change turn your life around. You understand that? Sometimes it's going to take some pressure to change the way that you're speaking. You'll want to say the wrong word that you've said all the other times. You'll want to say something. They just open up the door for you to say something, and you say, oh man, if I could only say that now. And you'll have to swallow your pride sometimes and swallow the words and everything else and just hold them back and realize that I better not say it. And you'll go away and you think to yourself, man, I wish I said that to them. I wish I told them. I wish I gave them peace of my mind. No, sometimes you got to put pressure on the rudder You know, there's going to be a strain sometimes, but eventually you'll turn that around, and you'll turn around your life, and you hit it in the right direction. Death and life is in the power of your tongue. It's the rudder that governs your life.